FM auf 102,6. For you to fly.
Ja, guten Abend zusammen. Hier spricht Dieter Nüssing vom 1. FC Nürnberg und viel Spaß im Herrengedeck mit Andreas Kulig.
Herrengedeck. Fußballkultur. Mit Musik.
Ja, und ich begrüße euch zu einer Stunde Herrengedeck Fußballkultur mit Musik am Sonntagabend. Schön, dass ihr dabei seid. Mein Name ist Andreas Kulig und mein Thema heute Abend heißt Refugees are our football family. Dies ist der Titel einer kürzlich vom englischen T-Shirt-Label Philosophy Football ins Leben gerufenen Kampagne zur Unterstützung von Flüchtlingen. Initiator der Kampagne ist Autor, Dozent und Philosophy Football Mitbegründer Mark Perryman. Die Initiative Refugees are our football family jetzt im Herrengedeck. Gleich noch etwas Refugee Music. Refugees are our football family, heißt es heute Abend im Herrengedeck. Fußballkultur mit Musik und der Gründer dieser Kampagne ist der Mitbegründer von Philosophy Football. Sein Name Mark Perryman und wenn denn alles hinhaut, bin ich jetzt live mit ihm in England verbunden. Hi Mark, can you hear me?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Oh great, good to have you on the show. Tell us about your campaign. What is Refugees are our football family?
Well, fans in England saw pictures of these magnificent banners carried by fans right across the Bundesliga of refugees welcome here, weeks, almost months ago now, and felt we wanted to do something the same. And in England, I don't know whether the phrase translates, but in England there's this phrase for football family, which has become kind of corporatized. It's part of the football establishment. It's used as a marketing device and so on. And we thought, well, actually, the football family is something which belongs to the supporters, it belongs to the fans, and it's about the common cause of humanity. And across history, across English footballing history and across European footballing history, refugees have always been part of football. So if, for instance, we go back to one of English football's most famous FA Cup finals, which is the 1953 Cup final, known as the Matthews Cup final, when Blackpool were 3-0 down against their great rivals Preston, Mortensen scores a hat-trick, but the winning goal, which meant that Blackpool won 4-3, was scored by Bill Perry. Bill Perry in 1953 was a black refugee from racist South Africa. the first professional footballer of Spanish descent to play in English football was a Basque refugee from the Spanish Civil War. If we think of two of the most famous footballers out of history and of today, Puskás and Ibrahimović, both in their different ways are from a refugee background. Puskás ended up playing for Real Madrid because he was with Honved, the Hungarian army team, touring in Spain during the Hungarian, when the Hungarian Revolution was crushed by Soviet tanks. He was a refugee from that conflict. Ibrahimović, if you go back to his parentage, refugees from the Balkans. So, you know, refugees have always been part of football, and we wanted to say, well, you know, what is happening needs a response from fans. And so what we did was we issued an appeal for fans to send their scarves, because we looked at the list of goods which the refugee camps needed, and right at the top of the list we said, look, as winter approaches, we need woolen goods. Well, every football fan has got a scarf in their bottom of their drawer that they no longer use, and we were inundated by hundreds of these, which we've now gone across to Calais.
All right, and so when was your campaign established?
I think it was within, it's a few months ago now, but it was within days of seeing those photos from a Bundesliga. It was very different to the kind of imagery which you're used to seeing around football. And this was, I don't know enough about, the situation in Germany at that particular moment, but something had sparked amongst those fans. They wanted to respond. And we saw those photos. They went viral across social media and thought, okay, we want to do something ourselves. So that's what we did.
Why was it necessary to establish foundations like Refugees or Our Football Family? Aren't there enough other institutions who could help?
Sorry, could you say that again?
Yes, you established your Refugees or Our Football Family campaign. But isn't it like a kind of a shame that there aren't enough other institutions which could help?
Well, I'm not sure if I completely agree with you there, but if we take, you know, the tragic events in Paris of Friday night, you know, on that same day, England were playing in Alicante in Spain, and we organised during the morning, which we've been organising as England fans since 2003, a goodwill visit to a school. Which sounds crazy, but in every country that England play, and with the greatest respect, this probably doesn't happen with Germany, but every country that England play, learning English is the most popular subject amongst teenagers. You know, if they want to get on in life, if they want to get a decent job, particularly in Alicante, which is a very, very touristy area, they need to learn English. So we take groups of fans into schools all around the world, wherever England play, and they have the most wonderful English language conversation class. We did this in Germany when we played in Berlin, we did this in Germany during the World Cup 2006. It works wonderfully well. And then we had a football match between two sets of supporters, the Spanish and the English supporters. Now, when I was sending my thanks to the school, as I always do the next morning, I made the point, you know, on this day where we have a stadium being attacked by terrorists, this was an example of a common cause of humanity that football can help generate, but at its best it represents. So I think football has, we have this expression in England, but it expresses some of the worst sides of nationalism. It also expresses the most popular form of internationalism. So when we do something around refugees or do something around what we call fan friendship wherever England play, I think we play with that and we develop that. And I think that's, football has a power, and I think it's going to be very interesting Tuesday night's game against France. I'm so glad that it is going ahead, because you don't give in to the terrorists. You know, Wembley will be like a fortress, the way that I'm sure the security will be an unprecedented level, but the fans will respond. I'm absolutely sure. I think the moment when the French national anthem is sung at the beginning of that game will be an intensely emotional occasion, and it'll be an occasion when there's, I don't know, 60,000, 70,000 20,000 people packed into a stadium. I mean, it won't be a demonstration, it won't be a march, it'll be a vigil. It'll just be ordinary men, women, families, kids, parents, just standing up for everything that is good about the common cause of humanity.
For your campaign, can you tell us who you cooperate with?
Yeah, it was amazing. We, you know, like I said, we saw the pictures from the Bundesliga. I think it was, you know, it was on a Saturday in September, I think it was. On the Monday, we came up with the idea of this slogan, "Refugees are our football family," who just, you know, again, it may not translate into German, but in English, it, you know, it had a sense about it. It was quite subversive. We'd read an article, actually, in the Guardian newspaper by Marina Hyde, who's a very, very good journalist, and she had made the point that if the football family is to mean anything, this is a moment when it should mean something. I happen to know a little bit about the history of English football, so the Bill Perry example immediately occurred to me, as did the one of the Basque refugees. I sent out an email to various, I went to When Saturday Comes, to Football Against Racism in Europe, Football Beyond Borders, the Football Supporters Federation, Football Action Network, all the key fan activist groups. And they all immediately responded, said, yeah, this is a great idea. And we weren't setting up, you know, some complicated charity or anything like that. We just said, look, send in your scars. And like I said, it was a very simple idea. And hundreds of people sent in their scars. We had two clubs responded as well, Aston Villa and Arsenal, who had stock of scars. We got thousands of scars from them. So it was quite low key, you know, but there's lots of other people doing wonderful work collecting goods for the refugee camps, you know, much bigger initiatives than ours. But what we said to them, look, we might be able to reach people that you might not be able to reach. We also raised over £1,000 for Doctors of the World UK. They are the only medical unit within the Calais refugee camp. And they said, well, £1,000, that will cover the clinic for 10 days. So for 10 days of that clinic, we were able to pay for the staffing of the doctors and nurses working there. So it's a very, very practical form of solidarity.
And you also created a T-shirt. Can you tell us about this?
Yeah, I mean, the T-shirt carried the message. The T-shirt was, we had two prongs to the campaign. One was to collect scarves, and the other was to raise money for Doctors of the World UK. And we produced a T-shirt, which you can still see at philosophyfootball.com. And it was just a very simple design of the slogan, "Refugees are our football family," because like I keep saying, in English, football family has got a very familiar establishment kind of tone to it. And we kind of subverted it by saying, let's think what we actually mean by the football family. I think it's quite an interesting phrase, the football family, but it's become, like I said, an establishment term, a marketing term, it's devoid of any meaning. And yet, at moments like that, the refugee crisis, at moments like, you know, I was just reading this afternoon this extraordinary story I hadn't realised about the German team not being allowed to leave the Stade de France because they didn't think it was safe to them to go to their team hotel. And the French team unanimously saying, well, if they're staying, we're staying too. And that was just, you know, these are multi-millionaire footballers, and they knew what solidarity meant. You know, I find that absolutely inspirational. And like I say, I think the Tuesday night's game, the eyes of the world are going to be on Wembley. And the eyes of the world are going to be on the supporters as much as probably more than the players. And I think it's going to be very interesting how the fans respond to that moment. I think they'll respond very, very positively. And I think that is the wonder of football. You know, football's got so many, I think we've talked on your show before, it's got so many faults and errors and made so many mistakes. And we've got the corruption at FIFA, corruption at UEFA and so on. But here's the best example. Here's football as the common universal language, which it undoubtedly is in the 21st century.
And talking about solidarity, how can our listeners support your network and show their solidarity?
Well, if they would like to buy the shirt, then we can raise more money. That's a very simple way, yeah, which is to philosophyfootball.com. We'd love to have some more. We're still collecting the scars. If I can spell out the address, you send it to Philosophy Football, P.O. Box 11140. That's 11140. Harwich, which is H-A-R-W-I-C-H, C-O-12, C012-9AP, England. And we'd love to have scars from Bayern Munich and Munich 1860, Hertha Berlin, St. Pauli, Hanover, PSV Hamburg, and all over Germany. I know we've already got some. I mean, we've been photographing them as they come in, and it's made a fantastic montage on Twitter, on our Twitter feed, as each set of scars come in. But if German fans want to send in scars, they'd be extremely welcome, and they'd be extremely well used. You know, we're getting reports back from the camps that it's getting cold and it's getting wet, and woolly scars are a great way to keep you at least your neck warm. You know,
that's just what I wanted to ask. What kind of feedback do you get on your campaign?
Positive, you know. I had a wonderful letter from Doctors of the World UK. You know, they're quite a small charity, and you know, they said, you know, obviously other people are raising funds for them. I'm sure others are raising more, but they said they never expected a football fan group to contact them and say, look, can we raise some money for you? They thought, well, it was absolutely wonderful, and I think that's what it kind of. You know, we've hopefully got over the hooligan reputation in England or across the world, but people are still slightly bemused when we say, well, look, here's this connection. And when I've been at meetings and I've recounted the connection between refugees and football, and you could do the same in the fields of literature or fields of film and all kinds of cookery and so on, you know. There's all kinds of fields where you find those connections. So we're just using one particular device to make that connection, and it brings a whole issue alive. And I again would recount the point about the attack in Paris, including the Stade de France. You know, that's a stadium where I've watched games. I watched games at France 98. It brings both the issue alive, but it also brings the potential of a progressive, positive response to it alive as well.
Finally, Mark, which future plans do you have for your initiative?
Well, I think we probably, you know, we're certainly going to continue it through the winter. But there's bigger outfits than us, you know, who are doing a much bigger and better job than we could do. You know, we don't want to overstress what we've done. It's quite a modest initiative. But we've done what we can. And if the scars keep coming in, we know where to send them. So that's how it continued. But it kind of sets down a marker that it is possible for football to respond in a positive way to, you know, crises of this type.
All right, but you don't know any other campaigns in any other countries doing the same?
That's a good question. Well, no, I don't.
No,
I don't. I'm sure there are.
Maybe we could encourage somebody to, kind of follow you or contact you and then cooperate.
Yeah, we welcome that, yeah.
I think it's a very good thing, and it was nice having you on the show. I know you're a very busy man, so
okay.
I'll let you go back to work again.
Excellent. All right.
Thank
cheers
you.
Then.
Yeah, cheers
bye.
Too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Was tun, zumindest irgendwann. Es liebe dich.
das soll es gewesen sein für heute vom Herrengedeck Fußballkultur mit Musik, mit ganz viel Musik heute Abend und mit meinem Gast Mark Perryman aus Brighton, England, der die Initiative Refugees Are Our Football Family gegründet hat, die sich um Spenden für Flüchtlinge kümmert. Ja, und wenn ihr die unterstützen wollt, er hat es genannt, wohin ihr das schicken könnt, das Ganze werde ich auch noch verlinken, dann könnt ihr da drauf. Und ohnehin solltet ihr mal auf die Seite gehen, www.freefm.de und euch da mal ein bisschen die Zeit vertreiben. Ist eine wunderschöne Seite vom besten Sender weit und breit. Wenn ihr dann da weiter eintippt, /Programm/Herrengedeck, findet ihr auch alle alten Sendungen zum Nachhören, ebenso bei Facebook oder unter herrengedeck.blogsport.de. Ich freue mich auf euch in 14 Tagen wieder und verabschiede mich von euch mit Metallica und And Justice for All. Schönen Abend.
Herrengedeck.
Das Größte, was es gibt in Deutschland mit Andreas Kulik.
Andreas Kulik.
Andreas Kulik.
Mit Andreas Kulik.
Herrengedeck auf Radio Free FM.